Hello and welcome to the To Take Up Space podcast. I'm your host, Lala Robinson, your well-being warrior and unapologetic space taker. I am a jack of several trades creative, and my mission is to use my voice and creativity to aid the healing and overall well-being of my her community. This podcast is named after my book, To Take Up Space, and it is an audio space for 20-something Black womanhood and her well-being. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of To Take Up Space podcast. I am joined here with a guest today, my friend, my sister. I love her so much, Miss Stina Brennan.
I love you too, my Lala. Hey, y'all, it's Stina Brennan. I am on the podcast today with my sister, and I am really excited, really nervous, but I'm excited either way.
Don't be nervous.
I'm gonna do my best.
It's gonna be cool.
All right.
We gonna enlighten the people.
Okay. All right.
But go on and give them your plug because you got businesses and things. You be doing things.
Well, if you guys would like to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram at Solo Beauty Miss J. That's SoloBeautyMSJ. And from there, if you look on my links tab or you look in my link tree, you can find my other business pages for makeup, which is I Behold Beauty MUA, and I Behold Beauty, which is my apparel, jewelry, and skincare clothing lines.
Mm-hmm. And the I is EYE.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. You be spelling things for these folks, but I don't. I think I spelled maybe once or twice, and I was like, I ain't spelling for y'all. Y'all grown. Y'all better get this
but
right.
But you know what? You got to do it because it's black. But sometimes people, you know, we like to put a little funk on it.
We do. So I realized that because folks spell wild and different.
Yeah.
Folks spell white people different. Folks spell all kind of different stuff different. So, yes, you do have to let the folks know. I just want to make sure they can find you.
But thank you. You're right. It's EYEBEHOLDBEAUTY. I Behold Beauty like the eyes up in your head.
Yes. Okay. There you go. See, let them know. They got it now. They got it. So, all right. So, today's episode is going to be entitled Family. So, I know that this is a topic that me and Stina talk about all the time, but it's something that I talk about with, like, several of my friends, because we have different family, different dynamics. Childhoods. Yeah, different family dynamics and different childhoods. And the way that I love on my family is a lot different, you know, from other people. I have, the tough love kind of, love that I give to them. And it wasn't because someone was tough on me or offered that to me. I feel like I kind of developed that on my own, in some sort of way. Yeah. And I don't know where it came from. I just know that I sort of developed this, this push kind of love, you know? And it also could just be that I'm a Taurus, too, so we like to, push people.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way, but in a way where it's just like, no, we can see your potential. Like, you should do this, you should do this. And I do that with my family a lot.
You do it with your friends, too. Mm-hmm. I can attest to that, because, baby, I'll be like, girl, what you doing? What you doing? Come on, what you doing? Get up out that bed. Let's go. I'll be like, yes, girl, push me, honey, because today I was going to be a bump on the log.
It's crazy, because I used to do this in high school. Like, I used to, when I was, really, really deep into church, I used to, send, not the scripture, but I would send, whatever I would interpret from the scripture to my friends in, one of those group message thingies. And they would love it. Like, they weren't, mad about it. They would love it. A lot of them responded to it really well. I stopped doing that a long time ago. But still, you know, it's just in me to kind of, push people to try to be their best and the absolute best, which is, you know. It's weird because it'll fall. Sometimes that falls back on me, but
everybody ain't ready for a good truth. That's a hard truth.
That's okay. The hardest thing is me having to learn how, learn that. Basically, it's just everything is for everybody, and people aren't always ready. And sometimes you have to realize that people want to, in the first episode of this season, I talked about freedom and how people have to form it in their head that it was their idea. And they're making a decision for their life versus taking your advice, because then they feel like that's not a decision they made about their life.
Yeah.
It kind of makes them feel like they're not in control when they take your advice. So we have to
calm down and be okay with our friends and family not taking our advice because they need to form it in their own heads this is their decision.
That's
that's something I learned a lot with my family. But before we get into that, we're just going to do a quick little random icebreaker.
Okay.
I don't know if, I don't know what might come of this. But anyway, all right. So my little random icebreaker, I like music. So
okay.
I know that this podcast has like nothing to do with music, but when I do my icebreakers, I like to make it about music some kind of way.
I'm here for
that. My icebreaker for us is a song or songs that describe your family.
Oh.
And so so I'm choosing DMX, Party Up. And a lot of people probably don't know it as Party Up, but it's the song that's basically like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Up in here.
I swear. These people drive me crazy. Any of my friends know. My family is crazy. They drive me crazy. The stuff that they say is ridiculous. The stuff that they do is even more extraordinary. So it's, but I love them, you know, I love them to death. And I've had to explain to people, it's just like, I don't hate my family. Like, I don't hate them at all. I love them hard. Like, I go hard for my family. Like, I'll talk shit about them all day, but I can't have nobody else
right
now.
But you can,
you know? Yeah. Right. I'll do like all day long, but I absolutely love them. And I try to talk to them as much as I can. And I give space where space is needed though too, because sometimes you just need it. There's a lot of my family members that I, you know, took time away from talking to or speaking to because it was just like, it was too much for me to handle at that point in time.
Yeah.
And like, I'm this person that's always trying to work on myself. And sometimes that gets a little agitating when you're around people who ain't really willing to change or do anything.
Yes, girl, talk about that.
Yeah. So that's my one song. So, but then my other song is Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is because I feel like no matter where I go, you know, I'm always attached to these people and I'm always going to love on them regardless.
Yeah.
You know, we have our ups and downs, but that's my family, you know, and I can't do nothing about who they are. That's on the good days. On the good days, it is Always Be My Baby.
All right, I'm here for that. You ready for my EP?
Go ahead. What you got?
I got a whole EP. Let me break down the title. No. I'm gonna keep it limited to probably about three songs.
Okay.
You know. So, the first one would be "Ain't No Mountain High Enough" because when I tell you,
that's a good one,
baby. Like we might go through it, but baby, ain't nothing that's gonna stop us from being there for each other. When I tell you,
I know Prince said y'all be.
Look, we be down to ride. I don't think people understand. Like, if my sister called me right now, my sister's in North Carolina, I'm like, Prince, I need a flight. Like, I need to go right now because my sister need me or my cousin need me. Like, that's just how we are. Like, it's nothing, no obstacle for us that will keep us from being there for one another.
Okay.
The other song I would say is "Can You Stand the Rain?"
Ooh.
But the Boys of Men version,
the
1997 version. You gotta put that little smooth lay. Ooh, you know we got a nay who on that thing.
What?
So, cause you know, with every family dynamic, y'all go through some things. Y'all go through some tumultuous times where you may do something to your family. Your family may do something to you, and you just like, all right, look, you gonna have to square up, like. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we can weather this storm. Like, can you stand the rain? Sometimes you do need to kind of, like, break apart just to come back together. But it's like, at the end of the day, my family, we've withstood a lot of storms. Like, a lot of storms. So I would say, like, that. And then my last song would be "You're All I Need to Get By" by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
What? That's good.
So.
Got a nice little EP. I like it. All right, girl. That's what's up. I like that. See? So, my little random icebreaker did kind of work
out.
I like it. Hopefully, that'll get other people thinking what kind of song they would think about.
Ooh, child.
So, y'all can play them at the family reunions.
Uh-oh. Wait, don't throw shade, though.
don't do that. Look.
If your song is "Knuck If You Buck," keep that in your
is
pocket.
Is it a good family reunion if ain't nobody out there knucking and bucking though?
Well, you know it is. it's also entertainment. Because, you know, sometimes we go to the family like, what clan going to be fighting against the next one?
Yes, because I think there was a fight at pretty much, at most of our family reunions, there was some fight. Whether we was fighting each other or we was fighting somebody else. Oh, okay. But it was always at least, you know, one fight that'll break out.
I could concur with that.
Arguments and all that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mostly with my family, probably what Prince alluded to. Like, we have family reunions or barbecues, and then people will bring their guests. Mm-hmm. And by guests, we mean people that they dating, and they come up in there.
And they be disrespectful.
With that disrespect. And baby, at that point, it's like, Alexa, Siri, Cortana, whoever.
Whoever.
Cue Nuck if you buck.
Yep.
And that's when you see it. Be like, let's go. So, no.
Yo, those were some of the best family reunion memories, though. It's just the fights. Like,
everybody be like, you remember that girl? I don't remember. You know, the one with the raggedy hairline? You know,
yes.
You know, because family like to throw shade when they don't like somebody.
Yes. But then the other thing, too, is like, if you're dating somebody and you're going to go to their family reunion, have some respect. Because you might get your ass whooped by two or three of their cousins.
Okay.
And you don't need that. Like, don't get dressed up just to get your ass beat.
I'm trying to tell you. My family, at least on my mom's side, when you see us, you be like, oh, they're so quiet, they're so classy. Yeah, they are classy, but you think you're gonna roll up in there and push somebody around? Baby, them heels come off. It'd be like, listen, Gina, go in the house, go get that Vaseline. Come here, baby. Calling my niece. Come here, come get TT earrings. Like,
it goes down
quickly.
Okay, so y'all know how I do this. Usually when we have a topic, I like to make certain points. So in this I'm going to have a series of questions too, just because I have a guest, so that's going to make it nice and fun. The first point, though, that I do want to make is that, you know, to some people it may be unfortunate, but to me, I've learned how to live with it. We can't choose our family. You're born into a family, and it is what it is.
Right.
You can't blame nobody for what you look like other than your family. You can see, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we can see what we gonna grow into and what we gonna look like later on.
That's true.
And even then, you know, we have some options to change some things and shift some things.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we can't choose our family. But what we can do is choose how we deal with our family.
Absolutely.
And that's been a very, that's been a learning process for me, because I'm telling you, some of the stuff used to really just get on my nerves. I've been left a lot of places, and that's why I am the person that I am. It's like, you can't take me nowhere and I not figure out how the hell to get back home.
Okay.
I've been left. Okay. one thing that my family used to do, now my mom and my dad, they were young, you know, when they had me, they were 20 something. By then, they had already had two kids. You know, my mom had my sister when she was 17. And my dad, I forget, maybe my dad was like 19, 20 years old when him and my mom had my brother. And then I came like a year later. So, you know, no break in between. But when you have kids that young, you're still young, you know, and you still have a lot to like learn, a lot you haven't grasped, and you still want to ultimately go out and have fun.
Yeah.
And so you don't think about it as much. Like, when you have that first child, you kind of hardcore, like, okay, ain't nobody gonna touch my baby. When you have three children, I think you like, well, anybody who willing to watch this baby can watch this baby while I go out here and pop, you know, whatever I got to pop. You know? Because we got left in so many people's care. And while that was, you know, fun sometimes, because sometimes you got left at your friend's house, which is nice because you wanted to either stay there or be around your friends or whatever. So we got exposed to a lot of different things, but not all those things were positive things.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we were left with family members who were having sex in the other room and we can hear it, like, with just a random person, and they were supposed to be watching us. Sometimes we would be left with people who would forget to feed us.
Wow.
Or would take the money that my parents left for them and go spend it on something else and, you know, get us, like, the least bit of, you know, food or care, things that we needed. I would say we were never sexually abused, but we were physically abused sometimes by family members, too. because they would just take advantage of the fact that we were young and little. And, you know, our parents would either be miles away or, like, not able to come and get us right away anyway. So they would just take advantage of those kind of things. And so because of that, there's a lot of trauma that I do have that I'm still, like, working through. But there was points in my life where I kind of, like, was so disappointed in my parents, like, so disappointed in their parenting that I didn't, like, respect them as much because I felt like, you know, we were young, we were children, and they had us, and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do to take care of us and look after us. And so for a while I had like just like a lot of disappointment there for them, and I didn't respect them as much. And so I was like this teenager who was sort of like rebellious in a way, but also like sheltered. I sheltered myself. Nobody really sheltered. I kind of just went into my own shell on my own. But I did a lot of things, not because I wanted to, but because I felt like I didn't want to be like them. I didn't want to be like my parents. So I did a lot of things rebelliously to make sure I didn't become who they were. Because I, like, despised the way that they didn't care for us or didn't look out for us or didn't show up for us, all, you know, all those kinds of things. And I let a lot of that kind of manifest as I was a teenager. And it showed up in how I spoke to them. It showed up in how I acted around them. Like, I used to cuss in front of them, and I wouldn't care that they were there. I used to, like, just tell them where I wanted to go or where I was going. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't really ask permission to go. And it kind of hurt my feelings. This one day, I was hanging out with a girl, and she wanted to go somewhere. And I was just like, yeah, we can go. She was like, well, I have to ask my parents. And I was like, well, I don't have to ask my parents. They, you know, they know I'm responsible, so I don't have to. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, no, I just don't think they care about you. And I was like, well, damn. Wow. You know, I never thought about it that way. But it's just like, I started paying attention to that a lot, where it's just like, I never really had to ask them where to go. Like, if I could go to a place or nothing, they never, like, would stop us from going or say we couldn't go or anything like that. So I just felt like, you know, I kind of could just get away with whatever I wanted to, and like I wasn't being paid attention to or cared for or looked after. And like I said, because of that, you know, a lot of that like manifested in how I was around them, and I just like developed this lack of respect for them.
Got it.
And it wasn't until it wasn't until I just, like, had these very deep reflective moments about, like, my life and my childhood, and I was growing up, and I was just like, you know, and then I come in contact with other people who didn't have both their parents, or who had a parent that was, like, strung out, or who had a parent who did much worse things than my parents actually did, and I started realizing, like, okay, no, I was fortunate to have my parents, to know both of my parents, you know, they were young, and I can't blame them, you know, for them not knowing what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of don't have a parenting guide.
There's
you
no
know?
Manual.
Yeah. There yes. No you don't manual. Have a manual. So they were just doing the best that they knew how based off of the examples that they had. And when I think about the examples that they had, their examples weren't that great either. Because my grandparents, you know, my grandparents are wild on both sides. So I'm just like, y'all didn't really have a, you know, a structured, proper, appropriate example, I would say. Y'all were just doing the best that y'all could do.
Yeah.
Especially when I got into my 20s, I realized, okay, so this shit ain't easy. And what they was doing with three kids, okay, I gotta give them something, right?
You know?
I gotta give them a little something because they at least worked hard. They at least make sure we had shelter. You know, we didn't have a whole lot, but we weren't poor or poor. Like, there's a difference. There's levels to being poor, okay?
Yes,
there are levels to being poor. And there's some levels we were just never at. So I at least have to say we're fortunate for that.
Absolutely.
And we were at least, like I said, at least we had food most of the time, and at least we had shelter most of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we finished, all three of us finished all our years of schooling. I'm the one who finished college. But we at least made it that far. Yeah. Not everybody makes it that far.
Some people don't make it past elementary, let alone high school. Yes,
especially growing up where we did grow up. None of us did, you know, drugs, in and out of jail, none of that kind of stuff. So my mom is very proud about that. And it also helps when she talks about, like, how proud of us she is. And that she always says that, you know, we are her greatest accomplishment.
Yeah.
That's what she feels like. Then, you know, I have to draw back and just be like, okay, you know, they were doing the best that they could, you know,
yeah.
And at least she feels like we're some kind of an accomplishment, or that she accomplished something. And I have to give them credit where credit is due. And so while I can't change who they are, mm-hmm. and, you know, I can't reverse the bad, horrible decisions that they made, you
yeah.
know, as we were growing up, some of it still hurts, because, like I said, there is trauma there. It's absolutely child. I don't know if there's any child who doesn't have trauma.
Girl,
I just feel like there's trauma everywhere.
There is.
It's crazy, because I was watching this documentary, the Whitney Houston documentary, and I remember, like, one of her family members was like, no, she had nothing in her child. Her childhood was wonderful. She had nothing in her childhood. And then, like, you keep watching, and you found out that the girl was sexually assaulted by a family member. And
yeah.
I'm just like, how does lady think that nothing happened in her life?
Because
you
people
know?
Like to be quiet about
yes.
those things. They like to
yes.
sweep it under a rug. Or what
yes.
they do is they blame the child. The
yes.
child who has no kind of
no
dog
way
in
of
the
protecting
race,
themselves.
No way of protecting
yep.
them. Right.
Can't say, they can't say they want, they can't consent. A child can't consent to sex.
I don't care
sex.
How smart that child is. At the end of the day, a child will never understand that concept.
They don't.
Heck, it's adults that still don't
they
understand
don't.
That concept.
Yes.
So for you to put that onus on a child, which
mm-hmm.
it happens a lot. We
yeah.
see it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it gets really jacked up, it's messed up. And that's where you start basically compartmentalizing trauma that they're going to carry for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Because it's already the trauma of being sexually assaulted by an adult. 9 times out of 10, it's somebody you know or a family member.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're also going to carry the trauma of nobody heard me, nobody believed me. And then they start blaming themselves. And as we know in our community, number one, therapy isn't something that we talk about openly.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy, we joke and be like, oh, that's for white people. Or
yeah.
we'd be like, oh, if you go to therapy and you black, it's because you crazy. Nah. These
yeah.
people need therapy. But at the same time, because of the financial state of our community, because of the wage income inequality gap, we can't seek help even if we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that causes a lot
mm-hmm.
of issues to the point that you don't know what you're setting a child up for.
Yes. True. That, absolutely. It's a conversation that we don't have a lot, but a lot of us face childhood trauma,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that stems from assault, things happening to us
mm-hmm.
or our family members,
mm-hmm.
and we witnessed it,
witnessed
or
it.
We saw it, or we were threatened by it in some kind of way,
yeah.
or something like that. There's a lot of things. Like, I was running across the street one time in our neighborhood, and I was just going across the street trying to go get me, go to the little, lady that sell the little freeze cups. You know,
oh,
just
yeah,
trying to
yeah.
go give me something. Give me a little freeze cup or something. I was hyped too, you know. I'm walking across the street. Next thing you know, I got swooped up off of the curb. Like, scratched my knee on the curb. Everything. And it was my mom. And she ran me back across the street to the house. Next thing you know, there's this guy running after this other guy with a gun. And she, yeah. So, that still holds some
yeah.
kind of trauma in my head too. Like, there's a lot of different things that happen in your childhood that you just, it shapes the way that you are. It shapes who you are and how you respond and how you act.
Yeah.
There's even instances where I went to, I was always a pretty good student, and I had, like, got one of, like, the highest honors in, like, for my, like, fifth grade graduation or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And nobody came except for my evil auntie. So, even though everybody, like, you know, can't stand her to a degree, I still have a soft spot somewhere for her. Because out of everybody, she has consistently showed up for things in my life to celebrate me and to cheer me on. And my mom and my dad haven't always been there the way that she did. And I remember that day. And so that made me not want to cheer myself on as much. Because if my own parents didn't show up to cheer me on, then am I even worth cheering on? Right. What does it mean? You know, what does this stuff mean? What does this award mean? Yeah. You know, these other people telling me, oh, you're so smart, you're this, you're that. If I'm not getting that from my parents, it doesn't mean anything to me. So all those kind of things add up, you know, in life to develop this person.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, we have to learn, I don't want to say compartmentalizing things, because I think that's a little dangerous.
It is.
Because we do have to deal with the stuff that happens. But what I've learned on that journey is just that a lot of it I have to let go, but I also have to deal with it in how I feel about it and what it's caused, like, what it's caused in my life now. Like, am I reacting to this thing that happened in the past? And am I forming a behavior based off of that? And if I am, then I need to, like, deal with that.
Yeah.
And I need to work through that. Yeah. Because that may not be my authentic self. That's just a response that I'm having for something that happened 20, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? Not 20. Wait, no, yeah. 20, about 20 years ago. Girl, this age like, stuff be creeping up on here differently.
Look, I ain't gonna lie.
I got 20 years under the belt.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Matter of fact, yesterday I was just like, dang, how old am I? And I was like, I was really like having a hard time. I'm like, wait, am I 30? Am I 31? Wait, am I 32? No, I'm gonna be 32 this year. Princess, how old am I? He be laughing at me, but I really be like, dang.
Well, that's a conversation I had a week ago with my best friend. Because I had to ask her how old I was. And she was like, wait, are you serious? I was like, no, I'm dead serious. I done forgot. She could not stop laughing. I was like, girl, look, you know, people go through things.
You
just
know.
Work, just work with them.
You know.
But even through, like I said, even through all of that, I've learned, like, I can't change my parents, and I know they were doing the best that they could. I can't change any of my family members at that, you know, because it's not just my parents who I have some vendettas with. some other folks. But I've learned how to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, my brother still has some issues with some family members, and his is way deeper than mine because he's had different experiences. And it's crazy how you can grow up in the same house, but your experience from one sibling to the other sibling is completely
drastically different.
It's completely different.
It is.
Because sometimes you'll watch your sibling be abused in a sort of way that you don't protect them or stop it. You're just happy it's not you. But you don't think about how that's going to affect them later on.
Yeah.
And then how that's going to affect even your relationship that you have with them.
Yeah.
So, I think I've learned a lot just about how to deal with my family members because I can't choose them. They each have their own different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They each have their own different things that they've grown up with too. They have their trauma because they're still humans. No matter if it's my mom, if it's my dad, if it's my grandma, they have shit that they are still either dealing with or not dealing with.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically. They've got heartbreak. They've got their own trauma and they're responding in their own ways. And so I can't treat them disrespectfully.
Yeah.
And I can't treat them unfairly. And like they're inhumane and they don't have a right to those feelings that they have.
Exactly.
So that's how I've learned to deal with them. It's just like, you know what? I don't put any more expectation on them than they can bear. I just don't. It's just like, you know what? I know who he is. I know how to talk to him. And this is what I'm going to get. So I'm not going to expect him to jump, you know, into a whole new personality just because I see the potential in him.
Right.
I have to let him do his thing and he'll come around to realizing what he's capable of and he'll do what he needs to do. But for the most part, you know, it's just that we can't choose them.
That's true.
We have to just choose how we deal with them.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I battle with that because in my past, I have gotten so angry with some of my family. I have gotten so offended with my family because it would be like, how dare you treat me this way?
Yeah.
Don't you know I would do this for you? Don't you know I would do that for you? And it was like, I had to stop casting myself onto them. I had to stop mirroring myself onto them, and I had to understand that they don't have the same heart that I have. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same feeling. They don't have the same mind that I have. So it's not fair for me to put what I would do for them and how I would love on them and to expect them to do it back to yes. me. I wasn't honoring who they were. Mm-hmm. And I was getting upset with them and pushing them away when instead it was like, okay, you can't control them.
Yeah,
you exactly. can't control their actions. Mm-hmm. You can want the best for them, but if they don't want it for themselves, girl, you gotta let that thing breathe.
Yep.
Let them have their moment. Honor them. What can you change? I can change how I see or perceive yes. the situation.
Yes.
Because I was perceiving it in a way that you're trying to hurt me. How mm-hmm. dare you try to hurt yeah. me? And I got so mad. Like, I got so mad. I was so offended. Like, it was to the point I told one of my cousins, pull up. Straight up, pull up. Like, I want to square up with you. Like, and then it was like, girl, why are you getting so out of character? Why are you getting so out of character? It's because I was putting unrealistic expectations that I felt they should be at.
Mm-hmm.
I was mirroring that onto them, and that wasn't fair. And for that, I am absolutely sorry. And I keep that in my mind when I'm dealing with my family now. Like, it's certain family members that do certain things. They may say certain things that hurt me. And I'd be like, you know what? I have to understand that it is not a reflection of me. It is a complete reflection of them and what they might be going through in that situation. And I'm just going to give honor to that, whether it's good or bad, and understand yes. that I'm not going to take it personal.
Yes.
While it may hurt me and while it may take a little bit of time, I have to keep reminding myself, do not take it personal. I don't know what it's like to walk in that family member's shoes.
Yes.
I don't. Yes. So how can I judge them for the life that they're living when they're living the best life that they can live based on the knowledge that they have? Because I don't want somebody trying to live my life for me.
At all.
I get real upset with that. How yes. dare you want to live your life and mine too? You know, so I have to give people that same respect. So that's where I be at, like, with that whole situation where I'm right along with you. You got to give people their space, and then you have to be realistic with the things you can change. You can only change how you see things. You can change how you do things. You can change how you react to situations, mm-hmm. but you cannot change somebody else, you no matter how yes. bad you want to.
Yes. Yes. That's the perfect way to sum up that first point. I would even take it a step further and say that too. Sometimes you just have to ask your family, like your family member, how can you support them? And I know with my mom, she always says, it's just listen. I just mm-hmm. need you to listen. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I don't need advice. I don't need you to break it down for me and tell me all the ways that I did it wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just need you to listen to what it is that I'm saying. And that's important for her because she feels like she never gets heard.
Mm.
Never gets heard. And that's something, you know, I've witnessed a lot growing up with her. It's like my mom has always wanted to be the peacemaker. She's always wanted to be, you know, the calm, cheese in person and, not be about the drama.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person that she always was. But also in that sense, she was also a people pleaser. And she was also quite gullible in some senses too. And I never wanted to be either one of those things. So I learned to be real vocal mm-hmm. about what it is that I want. And I learned to say no if I don't want it and I don't like it and that's not what I'm interested in. But it took me a while to get to that point.
Yeah.
But once you get there, it's the point of no return.
Oh, baby.
You ain't going back.
That voice will never be silenced again. Girl, listen. I done been, honey. When I tell you, I'm going to be honest. It took me probably my late 20s going into my 30th birthday before I really made the hard determination, like, I will never be silenced again, because through my silence I allow things to happen not only to myself mm-hmm. but to others that mm-hmm. I don't like.
Yep.
So I will express myself in a respectful way
mm-hmm.
but I will never let somebody mute me again, because then I give you all of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I cannot let anybody have power over my life. I cannot let anybody tell my story, because nobody can tell my story better than me.
Yeah.
I have to raise my voice. Right. And so from then, never again will I let anybody silence me.
I know it is a very real thing. People think that you're just trying to be defiant and you're just trying to talk and just like be loud or obnoxious, and it's like, no, you just, when you find that voice, you said, it's a dose of power and control over your own life, and it's a beautiful thing to have.
It is.
People get mad at you for having it, but in return, in truth, they actually want to take it from you.
Yeah.
They wish they had the power of themselves and power over other people.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing that humans like.
I don't know what that dynamic is.
So, I'm going to give you a chance to go ahead and tell your story. So, what was your family life like growing up?
My family life growing up, as a child, I can't say that I had a bad life. You know, we had struggles. We had things we went through. You know, I'm just a little girl growing up in the hood of Newark, New Jersey. You know, there was a lot of danger, but I was none the wiser to it because my mom and my dad always tried to make sure that they provided the best education for me. Like, I went to school all the way up in East Orange, Cathedral Family Academy. I don't think it's there anymore, but
Cathedral
Family. Girl, we was in uniforms. I can remember sitting in the uniform store, and my mom was sitting there trying to figure out how she was going to afford this uniform, and she was like, yeah, let me just have this one shirt, and we just gonna have to keep washing it. Let me get this one thing. Oh, we got to buy this necktie. Well, you're going to have to go to school for a month without it till I get paid again. You know what I mean? But she was like, you going to go to the school here. Girl. Like, she didn't want me going to a public school because the public schools where I grew up was rough.
Mm-hmm.
They were failing. Mm-hmm. And she really wanted to always give us the best chance of life she could give us. So even with that, like, growing up in my household, like, I had my dad. He lived with us up until I was about 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And then him and my mom split. You know, some things he did my mom couldn't deal with. So she was like, you gotta go.
Yeah, my dad left at 4.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay, you know, that was a hard thing to kind of deal with because most girls, you're a daddy girl. Mm. I was daddy's girl. Yep. Like, although he treated me like daddy's boy, too. You know what I mean? Because like, he did. He wanted another son, and they thought they were getting another son. Yeah. Until the doctor was like, ha ha, joke's on you, it's a girl. And they should have known from then I was coming out being a joke. So like, hey, you thought I had a penis, didn't you? So yeah, my dad, he took me everywhere. He taught me construction. He taught me how to fix cars. Like, I'm super girly now, but people back then knew me to be like a boy's boy, like a tomboy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, growing up in my household, it was me, my dad, both my sisters. I have a million sisters, but this is just the cluster that was here. And then, like, all of my cousins. You couldn't tell me that my cousins didn't live with me because I don't ever remember a time not having everybody at the house. Like, I woke up from the time I woke up, from the time I went to sleep, it was always the family at the house. Like, so we grew up real tight knit. We always was together. My grandma, again, she was literally our big mama. She was the glue to the family. And when she died, things kind of got a little shaky. You know, people started moving away. But other than that, like, I can't really say my childhood was too hard until I got up into, like, my adolescence.
Yeah.
Once I grew up, maybe about 9 or 10 years old, you know, I started kind of having an awakening from the world. Because, mind you, from the time I was in preschool up into third grade, I was in this private school. That was around the time my dad and my mom split, so she no longer had his income helping to pay for the school, so I had to go to private school.
Mm-hmm.
Public school. So when I went to public school, I had my first real dose of my people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And girl, I went in there just as mild and timid as can be, like, oh, you know, we supposed to love everybody. Jesus says turn the other cheek. And baby, them kids were slapping both my cheeks. And I'm like, I'm still not going to hit you. I just want to love you. And I'm like, we were taught. And they like, shut up. You know, they jumping me. They beating me up every day. I'm getting bullied. I'm like, what is this? Like, so in my adolescent years, going up until like I was 9 or 10, I had dealt with being bullied. Like, severely bullied. They putting gum in my hair. They cutting my ponytails. Like, physically jumping me in the locker room at gym time. Scared to go to the bathroom because the girls would jump me in the bathroom. Like, I just went through so much physical abuse and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to public school, it was just like, it started changing my demeanor. Mm-hmm. I started going, well, you know, if we supposed to turn the other cheek, how come they ain't get the memo?
Yeah.
Like, why am I being tortured like this?
They probably
go
to church just on Sundays, too. Right. They ain't got it.
So, girl, one day I went home, and I just, you know, I kept telling my mom every day. I would, you know, me and my mom, we have an open relationship. We talk about any and everything, like, any and everything. You understand? So, I would go home and be like, they bullying me, they doing this. And she's like, well, Stina, you just gotta ignore them. They just mad because you, you know, they might think you prettier than them. They just mad because, you know,
they might. That same line.
And I was just
in
here like, that ain't stopping them from beating my ass every day. Like, come on, girl. You got to get me more than this. You got to do something. Like, take me out of school. Like, it was to the point I was just like, I don't want to go to school no more. Like, I don't want to go to school. And so, I guess my mom got tired of me coming home crying every day, telling her about getting jumped and being bullied. So, finally, my mama, she was like, she know how your mama, when she get fed up, that lip curling, and she, the teeth don't even be, you know what I mean?
I know, I got
you. So she done did this lip. She was like, if you don't go there and beat that little bitch ass. I was like, hello? She was like, I said what I, if you don't beat her ass, when you come home, I'm gonna beat yours.
That's it. That's the incentive.
That was all I needed to hear, girl. Ain't never have a fight, a real fight in my life. I was used to being jumped and having the dog walked on me, baby. But that day, I said, oh, when I get to school the next day, I'm going to walk the dog on these hoes. Girl, I got my butt right on in that classroom. And I had, you know, remember them little planners the school would give you?
Yeah.
So, in my planner, I was, you know, I kept like a little diary in my planner. So, I was like, if she says something to me today, I'm going to go off. You know, I'm like 9 or 10. So, that's how we was talking smack back in the day.
Uh-huh.
You know, we wasn't talking about beating no ass. We was talking, I'm going to go off and I'm going to tell her about herself. Mm-hmm. Girl, they snatched my plan out of my hand, her and her little goonies. They read and they was like, oh, so you gonna do something to me. You gonna do something. I sat there quiet in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, in retrospect, I'm thinking back to it. This teacher, all my teachers saw how they was bullying me because they was bullying me in the class and never stopped it.
Yeah.
This is where adults fail with children.
Uh-huh.
Y'all see these kids getting bullied and you think because you got bullied when you was in school and you survived it, that this builds character? No, it builds trauma.
It hurts.
I had to unpack a lot of that in therapy. Mm-hmm. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
But back to the story. Anyway. Girl, so bathroom break came at 11:30. Now, usually I'm scared to go to the bathroom because I'm like, this is where they always, you know, get to do their thing. So I was like, today, whether I win or lose, I done got jumped for 3 years now. That don't faze me. I can eat the hits of other people hit me. At least I'm going to get to wear out one of them. One of them going to catch this today. Girl, I tell you, I got up out that thing so quick. The teacher was like, who's the first people want to go to the bathroom? I was like, me, I got to go. Got my hair raised, girl. So I was like, today.
It's on.
Girl, I walked in that bathroom. They was already in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, elementary school bathrooms is like in city schools. I don't know if it's not quite like that in the Florida schools that I went to. But in the city schools, it's like at least 10 or 15 stalls lined up with each other. And then on the other side is like 2 sinks. And then the rest of it is just, you know, concrete and tile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we get in there. They're standing. When you walk into our bathroom, it was like a little corridor before you get to the main bathroom. Uh-huh. So, they're standing on the wall next to the corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to me. I'll never forget her name, Aisha. She came up to me. Yes, I called her name, girl. She came up to me. She was like, you said that if I put my hands on you today that you was gonna do this, but we gonna see. So she doing all of this dancing in my face, but she wouldn't touch me because I'm like, I know the rules of the school. If I hit you first, I'm gonna get suspended. But if you touch me first and then we fight, you get suspended and I don't because I was defending myself.
I just put my little head right there.
Right. So I sat there and she just all in my face. I was like, but you didn't touch me though. But you didn't touch me though. So now her goonies behind her like, oh girl, you a punk. You said you was going to steal off of her as soon as she got in the bathroom. What's up? Da 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 da.
Uh-huh.
So she, I guess at that point, she started feeling the peer pressure from her goonies. So girl, she ever so lightly, like barely touched my shoulders with both her fingers. Barely just pressed my shoulder. And next thing you know, I choked her. My arm went out like Scorpion, like, get over here. Like, I got on her. I beat her ass from the 99 to the 2000. I beat her for the old, the new, and the stuff she ain't even did yet. I beat her for the ancestors that got beat back in slavery. Girl, I was beating her for everything. Like, everything in me rushed back. Like, I just remember every hit, every pull, every haircut, every piece of, like, everything from 3 years.
It rushed
into my head. Like, Lala, I got so scared of myself because I blacked out and I didn't come to until I saw this girl there and she was bloodied, nastily blood. Like, it was 3 teachers grabbing me. It was 2 security guards grabbing me. Like, I completely had blacked out. And since then, I was like, I cannot ever let stuff get so suppressed that much to the point that the balloon pops.
That's what happens.
I didn't know who I was at that point. All I know is I don't even remember being walked to the principal's office. I just remember sitting in there, my mama coming in there like, what happened? And da, 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 da. And he's like, we have to suspend both of them. And I'm sitting there in my head, I'm thinking, she touched me first. Like, like, she been bullying me and I've been telling y'all this for years.
But that's exactly what happens. It's just like, things happen to us, like, when we're kids, and you'll try to tell somebody, you'll try to tell an adult, and for some reason, I don't know what, like, goes through adults' head, but they don't believe us, and they don't take us seriously.
Yeah.
Until something like that happens, and then they're like, oh.
They're like, well, we gotta do something, this girl has to go and get medical attention, and I'm like, but she, what about all the times I left here bloody? What about all the times I left here where my physical person was violated? My hair was cut. She's destroying my clothes. She stepped on my glasses and broke them. Like, it was just like all of this had started happening. So you know how black mamas do. My mama came in and she was like, when we get home, I'm going to tear you up. I can't believe you doing this. We don't teach you to fight. And I'm sitting here like, in my mind, I'm thinking, you told me that I needed to whoop her ass or you was going to beat me. Girl, we got out that school. She was like, I saw what you did in here, Stina, and I just got to let you know. And I'm sitting there like, dang. Like, at that point, I'm crying now because I'm like, but I thought this was, you know, I thought this was okay. Like, you told me I needed to defend myself and make sure that I made an example out of her so nobody else would do it to me.
Yeah.
Girl, my mama lifted up her head. I felt so much shame. I felt so much hurt. Yeah. And then she started laughing. She held her hand. I was like, high five, girl. Oh. Let's go to McDonald's. What you want, an ice cream cone? You want a? She was like, I saw what you did to her. She was like, and she deserved it. I was all like, that. All of that I had been through, and now, and in that moment, it was like, I was still confused, like, am I being punked? Am I really?
Is she serious?
Like, is she serious?
Come on, mama, because you know mama be playing.
Yeah, girl, but no, my mama, she was like, I guess she really did get tired of, you know, seeing me and hearing it, and, you know, I'm coming home, and she, you know, my clothes is being tore up, and, you know, we ain't had money like that. We weren't poor, but we ain't had money like that, you know.
And then she would just have to keep, either if she took you out to school, she would just have to keep putting you different places.
Exactly.
The same thing would probably eventually keep happening.
So that's why she came up with the notion, like, while my mama, she really does not condone violence.
Yeah.
That's probably why it took her 3 years to finally be like, I'm tired of this. Go beat her.
Yeah.
Like, but she was like, you make sure you beat her good enough to the fact that nobody will ever try you again. She said, I don't care if you become the crazy girl in school. She was like, ain't nobody going to touch the crazy girl, and then all you could do is focus on your schooling.
That's it.
But that's how it is growing up in the hood.
Yeah.
In the hood, you really do have to establish yourself for as a means of survival, and people don't understand that plays
people
a part of your trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's survival.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, growing up in my house, I felt like I had a safe space in my house. I felt like I could be a kid, but outside of my house, because of the environment that I was growing up in, I literally had to code switch from my house to, all right, now I got to be on the street. Now I got to look hard. Because if you look too happy, people going to try you. People going to want to fight you. People going to want to do this or do that or whatever the case may be. So that part of my childhood, that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my family dynamic, it was pretty good. Although when I got to high school, a lot of things kind of changed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I suffered some sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And without getting too deep into it, that also left a trauma that I still deal with today as an adult.
Yeah.
It's something that I still have to go to therapy to address.
Mm-hmm.
And even recently, last year, just a couple months last year, the guy who assaulted me sent me a friend request on Facebook.
Oh, girl.
And
I
lost it.
Oh, I would have went crazy.
I lost it.
I think I would have went crazy. We had a family member, a cousin, that was doing that to young girls. And it was known, like, in our family.
Yeah.
And I think I remember my mom and my aunt talking about it. Because it happened to one of our younger cousins. And they lived across the street behind, you know, one of the houses that we all lived, that we, in the same neighborhood that we all lived in. And somehow I ended up in a room alone with this man. And he tried to assault me. And I didn't exactly know what was happening. I didn't exactly know until, like, I blame myself sometimes, but then I have to draw it back because I was a kid, you know, and I was young, and this was happening in my mother's bedroom. You know, it was a birthday party. It was a birthday party. There's, like, kids downstairs. Like, this is a predator's dreamland. You know, there's a bunch of kids downstairs, and my parents are away because they didn't get everything they needed for the party. Like, they never did that. They never were on time. They never were punctual. They never were, like, able to multitask, you know? Yeah. And so this was happening in my mother's bedroom. And I didn't realize what was happening, what was being asked of me, until this guy bent my small child body over the bed. Over the bed. Like, he was really about to doggy style a fucking 7-year-old? A 6-year-old? Really? Mm-mm. And something in me just said no. I said no. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. And I am so blessed that he let me go. Like, he didn't force himself on me.
Yeah.
That he didn't try harder.
Yeah.
And I just remember there was kids in the house downstairs running around. I think my brother was down there. And my sister was just in the room with us a few minutes. My sister's 5 years older than me. Was just in the room, you know, a few minutes before with his brother, you know?
Yeah.
And they're our family, so we're not thinking anything of it. Yeah. You know, we're not thinking anything, but his brother took my sister out of the room. And they went, I think, back downstairs or whatever the case. But he did that knowing what he was going to try to do to me. So he was aiding and abetting in this. You know, and this was happening, and there was kids outside the window. I can still, like, when I think about it, I can still remember seeing the kids outside of the window playing double dutch. Outside the window downstairs playing double dutch. And that was right before I had turned, that's the last thing I saw before I had turned around and was over that bed. And, I don't know. Like, I cheer for myself because something. And I don't know what it is, but it feels like the me now showed up there and stopped it.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't have that here now.
Yeah.
But even just the mere brush of coming into contact with that, you know, it could have been a completely different, you know, a completely different result. Like, I could be a completely different person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it still feels just as bad.
It doesn't matter. As if it would have happened. Whether it happened or it didn't happen. As
bad, you know?
When somebody take that from you, when somebody doesn't respect your boundaries, especially when it comes to your body, you go through the rest of your life with that. And I don't think enough people understand. Don't minimize what you went through, because what you went through, whether it actually went all the way, it still happened.
Exactly.
And that is something that I'm sure you will never forget for the rest of your life.
I won't. You know how many times I tried to forget it, to let it go, but it's crazy, and I don't know if it's because it was supposed to. I don't know why it keeps coming up. I don't know if it's to deepen me and your relationship, because we have that shared experience to talk about now and to lean on each other and support right. each other through it. I don't know. But my mom still doesn't know. My dad still doesn't know that this happened. I thought for the longest time that because nothing happened, I didn't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like that, but that puts me in the same space as if it did happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell anyone. So I like understand why women and children don't, and even men, don't talk about it, because the ridicule and the criticism that comes from talking about these deep things,
yes.
it's just like, it amazes me how cruel a person can be to someone who says that they were violated or assaulted.
Yes.
As if that's something that we just want to happily fucking lie about.
Right.
The only person that knows about this is my brother. I told my brother about it. I don't even think my sister knows what happened in that room afterwards. I don't think I ever had the conversation with her. And he's the only one that knows. And he's like, you know, if you would have told me that, I would have killed him. And I said, I know. Because my brother was wild back then. You know, he was the one doing all the fighting yeah. back then. And
I'm sure you know, probably knew that.
That was, yeah.
And
yeah,
as a yeah, child, you was probably worried more about him than yourself in that moment. Because that's not fair. That's not a weight that children should have to go
yeah.
through. Because that was what I went through. Where it was like, I wanted to call my dad and tell him, but I knew if I called my dad and told him, he would have came up to Jersey, and then I would have lost my father.
Yeah.
I would have lost my father because yeah. he would have went to jail for life, and he would have happily did it.
Sometimes we're trying to protect other people when we weren't
ahead of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people you do tell will make you feel bad or question you. Are you mm-hmm. sure? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know what happened mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
Don't ask me, am I sure? But you know yeah. what? Never mind. I don't want to have this conversation with you because I already see where this is going.
Yeah.
And I'm already hurting. And I was coming to a trusted adult
mm-hmm.
to have this conversation. Or a trusted family member or a trusted friend to have this conversation. And this is why people don't speak up. And this goes back to what we said in the beginning, which is, our voices being silenced.
Yes.
Because of what I went through.
Yes.
That's why I am adamant about never letting my voice not be heard.
Yes.
I will never be quiet again because my silence allowed him to be able to continue on. And that
life.
For me hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That for me makes me feel bad daily because I'm like, I'm praying he didn't do it to anybody else
yes.
after me.
Yes. Yes. So my cousin that tried to assault me, he actually did try it. He just continued on and tried it, and he ended up getting caught though, and so I don't know if he's still in jail or not. I just know that he ended up getting caught, and it's just amazing to me that people, even family, you know, will protect family when they do these kinds of things.
Yeah.
The result of that for me was mostly anger and resentment towards my parents, because I was mad that they weren't there and that they didn't protect me like they were supposed to. I had anger and resentment for a very, very long time, and I promised myself that I would never, that I would always observe everything, be paying attention to everything, be looking at everything. You know, because I felt like they weren't doing that with me as their child. Like, they weren't paying attention to all the things that I was getting into,
yeah.
the things that were happening to me, you know, the people that I was around, you know, like, they weren't paying attention to me. And so I made myself this person that pays attention to fucking everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything. I also made, like, myself this very punctual person. Like, time is a thing for me. Like, I have to do my best to be on time.
Yeah.
Show up early if necessary. But I'm a very punctual person. And I try to organize,
mm-hmm.
you know, because another reason that they weren't there is because they weren't organized. They weren't ready, didn't know what they needed to have
yeah.
for this event, this party, or whatever the case. But Yeah, and I'm just a very observant person as well. Like, that's how I am. I went to a gas station the other day by myself, and I was just, every few seconds, I was looking around. But, you know, these things that happen when we're children, and these things that happen with our family, they push us here. You know, they create a person. They create a behavior. And those are some of the behaviors that came from that with me.
All right, y'all, that is going to conclude To Take Up Space episode on family, part 1. Next week we'll be airing part 2, so make sure you come back and join us.